Danny Cadron and members of the LOC and also the all cities. And the PG, the new PG for sports integration. I met him for the first time in Durban when we were on the very great occasion of the sports award. No, the super sport and Paris didn't pay. In fact, Paris was not paying for my going to Paris, just a sensation by uninformed sportsmen. I emphasize that they have not paid for me to go there. But if you want to make a story, you are an African newspaper, you want to make a story to your friend, you can write that. Honorable members, and I want to say to everybody, Parliament is almost closing down. So that is why we're meeting here, because all committees of Parliament are meeting in Parliament, and therefore we're going to have a bigger meeting of this size. Then the rules say if we're going to have a bigger meeting, and then we can have that meeting outside. At least we have sponsored some money for this hotel, for some good things that we are doing in Parliament. But the whole city that we have invited is Mangaung, it's Mbombela. I want to see Mbombela. Mbombela is good. And then Devon, of course, is here. Tegui, my home, Mangaung, is here. The province that you have passion for. The province that has two teams that are playing in the PSL. And they still have the cheetah. Hey, I can tell you. It's going on there in the Free State. The other whole city that we've invited is Nelson Mandela. I think they are on their way to confirm Nelson Mandela. But Jenny, thanks very much this for coming on this meeting. And also, the whole city, thank you very much for coming. We have decided to invite you in a very short notice, but we appreciate that you have to leave everything and quickly come and interact with us. This is an interaction that we usually do. I think Nelson Mandela is wrong, interacted with us, but I've been moving around in Portugal. I'm sure they're informing me that I'm around the regional. Nelson Mandela, Tegwini, I'm there regularly, even last week I was there, but Mike didn't see me, I was there. In Mangaung, I stay there in the precinct. I'm there every day. I know the problems of the cheetahs that want Mangaung to pay them for inconvenience. I don't know what inconvenience is there. But the cabinet committee that went to Mangaung, the minister wrote a letter requesting that I must facilitate the CEO, must facilitate the meeting between yourself and the cheetah. Because cheetahs are talking things that we don't know what are those things. But that is a domestic affair. We will deal with it at home. Before I could say any other thing, our agenda is going to be short and quick. Danny has requested that I was just given the questions from other commitments to attend to. And then I have accepted that request. But, Cedric, you want to say something? Just say it before I say it.
Well, thank you, Chairperson. It's not on the agenda. It's just also better that in front of the committee, we can recall the last time when we met, we were briefed by the Minister of Sport on the annual report, and a long discussion also ensued over the issue of national symbols and the national emblem, and we've seen developments in the media. Now, we just want to put it on record that we have not been part of the meeting hoping that we'll get a briefing very soon on those developments. But be that as it may, we are encouraged that the motion that was adopted by this committee at our last meeting, in terms of the King Cobra being the national emblem of this country, has finally been accepted by the only delinquent federation in the country who does not use it, South African Rugby Union, as the national emblem, and we look forward to see the design of the new Protea blazer and the new Protea tie and all other national colors that they will be using. So through you, Chairperson, to the new DG, we hope that very soon we'll get a complete briefing of what was discussed between the minister and SARU, because we know there are certain people coming in. You know, when this committee meets and we discuss a lot of things about a lot of issues here, but there are certain journalists in this country who just write about rugby. They become rugby journalists. And there's some of them here today, and we'll see how they report and how they digest this very important occasion. The Confederations Cup, firstly, and secondly, the FIFA World Cup, which is paramount for us. Springbok is not paramount for us, not an important issue, it's a side issue. For this nation to really show its mettle to the rest of the world, it will be done through the medium of the Confederations Cup, through the FIFA 2010 World Cup, and I hope they are worth their salt to report on those issues as well. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Comrade Secretary.
I just want to take this point a little further. You know, the press treats rugby as the only sport of this country. When you call rugby, it's full year. There's no place for other people to come in. And I hope that they are going to report accurately about this meeting. And don't put it in a corner so that people don't see it. We appeal. Treat all other sports codes equally to rugby. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Member, and ladies and gentlemen, we requested Danny, the other thing that has made us to call the host city. Nelson Mandela, Ethekwini, Mbombela, and Mangaung. We've called them because precisely on our own parliament oversight, there are things that we don't understand in there, which we want to hear from them exactly. There are reports that are generated that we get and that the minister brings us on this report. But our work for oversight doesn't end up in the reports that the minister is giving us every day. Our report ends up with a close interaction with everybody who deals with the all issues that are confederation linked and the 2010 as government on basis of what we have signed as guarantees of government and what we have committed ourselves and pledged to FIFA that we will make the World Cup in South Africa something that anybody would not regret about. And that oversight has been given to us. We're meeting with the He has just been changed now because other ministers are not there. We have not met with the new ministers that have come so that at least they come. Because they are part of the local organizing committee, and therefore they are subjected to accountability to the portfolio committee of their work outside as members of the LOC. Because we don't treat them as cabinet ministers. And they don't talk to us as cabinet ministers. They talk to us as members of the board of the LOC. And therefore, when we take him with everybody in that spirit. Then we want, before you give us the status of preparation to, I think the one which is more critical is the Confederation. I have said to Mangaung, I didn't say that to Nelson Mandela and Ethekwini and Bombay. But I remember Mangaung when he was here. I said, one thing that I hear Denny and other people talk about is the visibility of the FIFA World Cup outside in provinces and also in cities. Then I said to Mangaung, when they come here, they must bring somebody dealing with the media and publicity and all these other things that are related in making the sensation around the 2010 FIFA World Cup and the Confederation. I can see today they're not here. They didn't bring something, but I remember I'm on record saying that. Maybe I'll tell them that to go home and then they'll come when that person is here. But I'm also pleading with other hosts. When you come, you need to tell us about the media communication, your publicity, and all those other things. Because that's where information and other things that are related to the 2010 are happening. On the radio, local media, and all those other things. And I do not think Mike is well equipped to can inform us on those issues. Inform us as, on a very broad overview. But there are issues that we want to hear from these people and the extent in which they are interacting with the media in the local organizing committee of FIFA in the country, so that the message must be the same image and there should be no other conflicting views around the kind of a message that they are giving to the country, which will culminate to the message that they are giving to the West. I think it will be good for us, there are other people that you don't know. The gentleman sitting right next to the DG there, that young man, is a researcher of our committee. It's Mbumza, it's not so young anymore. Maybe married, I don't know. Just about it. It's coming from school, but I can see it growing on daily basis. I'm impressed. Next to Pumza, we have a new DG. It's Mr. Barry Peterson. It's now the DG for sports, starting now 2 weeks. Now 2 weeks is coming. And I'm happy that you came, DG. Because when we met in Devon, I said to you, your strategic plan is not going to work. You have to come to this meeting today. I'm happy that you have honored that. Because I wanted to say, please don't try me, because that department is not going to go anywhere. But the welcome has to be something that we have to see happening. I'm happy about that. Thank you very much, DG. Next to the DG, we have Lenville Reed, the member of this committee. Next to Lenville Reed, we have no, I want his own name. Bongingosi. It's Bongingosi Dlamini, a member of this committee. Where do you come from, Rich? In the Western Cape? Southern Cape. Riversdale. In Southern Cape, Riversdale, in Gauteng, Ipaya Gauteng. And the Clever Associate. Next to the Clever Associate, Bula. Bula comes from KwaZulu-Natal. Mike knows you. I can see his nodding. Next to Bula, we have Makosi Ntuli from the Kingdom of KwaZulu-Natal. And next to Makosi Ntuli, we have Kora Khaj from the Helen Zille-led province. City of Helen Zille-led city. Here in the Western Cape. And next to me here, we have the whip of this committee, who comes from the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan of the ANC led city, Nelson Mandela. It's Cedric Floyd. Next to me, we're having this man who gets a lot of headache. So when people were asking me about the parking, his phone was off. And he's always his phone is off. and said, "Can you see our sitting where there is no signal?" He has all the reasons, because I'm not there, then I don't know what's happening in the book. It's Cory. Cory is the committee secretary for us. He comes from Virginia. And I don't want to talk what is happening in Virginia. Tabo will tell you better what is going on in Virginia. I think we must go and eradicate that. There's much looming of wrong things in Virginia for it. I won't tell people what is going on. Next to Polly, we're having Natasha. Natasha Williams. Natasha is attached to me. No. And Natasha is attached to me. Natasha is also a committee secretary, an ANC study group secretary. Then I would quickly ask people this side to introduce themselves so that at least members would know it. I know Julie May. I know my subject. I know Neil Foreign. Bombay, from the butcher, Kettle Grain, that butcher, you're coming from that province, which is named after this butcher. You're changing that. Yes. And next to President Delhi. Deputy Executive Mayor. Good, William. Mayor. Great invocation. That's good. And, yes, Chavo.
Chavo, my name is Chavo. The city manager for Manaung.
I will not tell you more about that. He's completely a city mayor of Manaung. Nothing else. City manager. Nothing else. I will tell you more off the record, because we have been taught that there are things that are off the record. So I'm going to speak off the record of the manager of Manaung. Baba?
Rihanna Pasha, organizing committee secretary.
Kulua? As an MP, I don't know which side are you on the fence. Because when we the Africans are so dearly fence, right? They have been unaccounted for, they bias your fault. So we must clear your position.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, colleague, and thank you very much, Chair. I'm Ngozi Muelo Nongonyana. I'm wearing numerous caps. Among the caps that I'm wearing is the ANC degree pardon. I have not yet crossed the floor, but I am actually the SAFA president of the Owas Kambo region, but I'm here in Makabaza as SAFA deputy president and accompanying this wonderful team of ours between the 10 LOC. And so I'm actually watching brief. I'm watching brief and support the cause of the LOC. Okay, thank you very much.
So you're prepared to take anything from us on behalf of the LOC? Now, that we welcome that. Yes, we welcome that. Keep on with it. Yes, Danny?
Good morning, thank you, Chair. I don't know if watching brief, whether it's watching us or you. this is our delegation, and we are happy to be here. As I've indicated, this is a hectic week for us. There is a match tonight, Bafana versus Cameroon, the launch of the ball there for the Conservation Cup, and many other activities leading up to the draw on Saturday. So we would like, as soon as it's possible, to answer all your questions and be allowed to leave, because we need to rush back to Germany. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Danny. I think it's fair, but we appreciate also to reschedule your things to come to, and I'm sure You will never run the risk of motivation that you can't come to Paramahansa. No, you will never run the risk. But there are other people who are prepared to run that risk. And I'm prepared to walk that road with them. And of course, I'm a good man in doing that kind of a job. When you said, I don't come, please, I help you, and then support you, and see where I'm going to fall deep into the hole. But those mics are on, the two. Okay. Then we'll give over to you quickly, just to brief us on the Confederation briefly. From there, just give us a broader, well, I'm going to minimize the questions, because what we want to hear is broadly how far are we, what are the things that you are raising that we as a committee on doing the overview, that you say these are the challenges that are there, and then all these are the issues that in terms of the agreement that government has signed with the FIFA that have not been met, and then so that we must assist you. When we do oversight, we ask from help, have you met your obligation, which is said yes, 90% have been met, and so are other departments that have signed the guarantee. Safety and security is working very hard around finalization, but infrastructure around security of the people in this country is guaranteed. So those are the things that we want to here, give us a broad view, and then I'll allow members to take questions one or two. Other people can sit on the side. So those are the things that we're looking at. And don't be shy in sketching some of the challenges that are there, probably imposed by us as government, or challenges imposed by municipalities, and then so that when we meet with municipalities like today, we are in a position to can unlock all those blockages, so that at least we have a smooth running of the preparation for the World Cup. Thank you, James.
Thank you very much, Chair. I have a number of things relating to stadium construction, and we have Rihanna here, but I'll just skip those things, because I think also the cities like to talk. And in the end, I have a summary slide raising, which I think are the challenges. And also just to give you some ideas to what are the things that we've been doing since the last time we spoke to this committee. So if I may, Chair, I will just run you quickly through some of the things that kept us occupied since our last engagement.
I want you to note one little thing. When you spoke, so that when we came, cities must be able to have this understanding. We are faced as a committee with a confusion, because when we met with the SADC around Pianova and what they are doing, one thing that they raised that we were not comfortable about it, and we didn't accept it, was around the 2010 special measure state. We have created two dispensations, which the lawyer that was representing the local organizing committee and ourselves was agreed on what we call the fan park and the public viewing area. Now, what is emerging, just to, that's why I wanted you to talk about it. What is emerging now is that the SIPC, where it's going to broadcast in the fan park. They're saying those fan parks are taken, the public viewing areas are taken by the local organizing committee of FIFA. They are now signing the agreement with FIFA. Effectively, they mean our people will not even go and sell their things there, because that area will be an area that is likely belonging to FIFA. And that is not what we agree. Even in the law that we have passed, we have agreed that a fan park exclusively belongs to FIFA. And the public viewing area belongs to the whole city. They can do anything that they want to do. Our people must come here
and self up and box and once we're watching a game there and be able to pick up some few cents in those areas. If they want to sell coke, they can sell coke. If they want to sell any other thing, they can sell that. And that was the understanding. I want you, when you conclude, and just agree with us, that understanding that we have, is it still the understanding that's still going on, so that we must be able to say to SADC, oh God, why it is not true, it is confirmed today that our understanding is the same as the local organizing committee. I think that was very critical for us to be able to touch on that. When you conclude, touch on that so that it is, the whole cities must leave here clear understanding what is their responsibility. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You can go.
All right, thank you, Chair. When I get to the fence part, we can just run through and raise that particular issue. This is history, so I'm just going to run through it. I think it is known to you. The adoption of the rotation, the winning of the bet, and then the launch of the official emblem, the prelim, the draw in Durban. Those are all the events that we... Then we have the launch of our mascot, Takumi, and...
countries that can actually host the World Cup.
And that is why you have the Euro final was co-hosted by Austria and by Switzerland. And that is because neither Austria or Switzerland had the capability of organizing the Euro final on its own. In the 2000 Euro final was co-hosted by Belgium and by Netherlands because they don't have the ability to organize it on its own. And so you find since 1990, Italy hosted the World Cup twice, and so did France, and so did Germany, and so England is pursuing the second World Cup. And after that, it's probably only Russia with the ability to host the World Cup. So when Europe talks about putting themselves forward as a Plan B country, they can only talk about those five countries. They cannot talk about 48 countries. In Asia, similarly, there are very few countries in the world that can host this event, and so we are one of 19 out of 208 countries in the world over the last 100 years that's hosting this World Cup, and the first, of course, after 100 years on the African continent. And then that talks a lot about our ability and our capacity in this country.
I want you to repeat the medium. The Plan B, in the extent in which you are saying in 250 countries,
yeah,
among the 18, that can be in a position to hold this kind of location. And I can tell you today, watch when you move around the street, it will not be there. There will be probably a Plan B. Not the extent in which we can stand tall as a country and become the 18 countries in the world. It's impeccable.
I think the media knows that. What makes it even more silly to argue is that the FIFA Constitution clearly provides that no continent can host two consecutive World Cups. The last World Cup was in Germany and Europe, and therefore, even if you talk about the Plan B, there is no European country can host this World Cup on the basis that the Constitution prohibits two consecutive World Cups on one continent. So actually have to amend the Constitution. And in voting for that amendment, Africa has 53 member countries out of 208 in FIFA. So it means at least 60% of the African countries must vote that this World Cup must go away from Africa. And that's why I said, only God can move this World Cup. It's only an act of God that can move the World Cup. And that is just the reality. So I think this thing that talked about, particularly the countries that was mentioned. I don't want to go on about this thing. But anyone in this room must mention 10 cities in Australia that can host 10 host cities. You can't. You can't name 10 cities in Australia that can be World Cup venues. Unless you build 3 stadiums in Sydney and so on. Because if you move away from the coast in Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, you go up to Cairns, and then you go to the Outback, and then and so on. So it's not something, if you really know the event requirements and you know the capacity, that this is a debate that we should have had in the first place. But I think this thing now is off the table, and a lot of the work, of course, and credit must go to the host cities of Bhutan to deal with the infrastructure state of readiness and therefore prepare to deal with this issue. That was Zakumi with the Spanish team. That is Iker Casillas, the goalkeeper of Real Madrid. In fact, he played in Cape Town in 1999 as an under-17 goalkeeper of the Spanish team here in Cape Town. And he was very happy to be back with the Spanish team, of course. They are ranked number one in the world today, and they are determined to come and win the Confederations Cup. Now, you know that Spain, while producing good football, has never won trophies. They've won the Euro final now, and now they think the time has come for them. to begin to fill their cabinet with international trophies. And Lakumi was there. That was New York, speaking to people in New York. There was a big picture of Lakumi also in the New York Times. And I think this is where the problem comes from, even the schools and so on. And I know Lakumi has not even been to this committee. I think very soon this committee will also summon Lakumi to come in a year before the committee. And that is the draw show, the Confederation Cup draw, of course, happens on Saturday in Sandton. The teams are now starting to arrive, the FIFA staff, the FIFA executive members, and other leading personalities of world football will be in the country and will be present at the draw in Johannesburg. Those are the partners. I can just run through that. Don't have to. I'm just going to run. These are the host cities, and they are here today, so they will speak for themselves. But you can see the stadium construction and the progress that has been made. This is a stadium, of course, just next to us, to our headquarters, and we see the stadium coming up by the day. And the progress is just amazing. You can see the cladding coming onto the the cladding being put onto the stadium. And this is going to be a magnificent stadium as many of the others. This is Mike Sutcliffe Stadium, I think, is going to be a world-class stadium. It's going to be one of the best. And I think we must give credit not only for the designs of these stadiums, but the manner of management and the way the stadiums were delivered in this country. North Strait, Polokwane, you can see that in each and every city you have tremendous progress on the stadiums. So I'm just running through. Transport, you didn't mention transport, so I won't talk about transport, Comrade Chair. Safety and security, Linda is here, and that's always, if in the world now, the big and the first question, and whether it is Berlin, New York, Brussels, or Beijing, the first question is always around security. And we make this point over that. Our track record from an event management point of view is second to none in this country, in hosting all of the events. Accommodation, this is an issue. Of course, you saw also in the paper this matter being raised. There's always a contest between available rooms and contracted rooms. Of course, even if you have more than 100,000 rooms in the inventory of rooms available, that doesn't help the event. We can only deal with contracted rooms, and this is where you have a difficulty, and there are many commercial issues that arise as out of that. So we can talk about that if you want to talk about that. Yeah. The hospitality packages, ticketing, as we've indicated that for the Confederations Cup, we will look essentially filling the stadiums with South Africans. And as I said yesterday, we need the support of every South African to fill these stadiums. And part of that challenge is that some of the teams will have a high profile and others will not. And it is around those teams that we will have to look carefully as to how we fill the stadium. You've raised earlier the question of marketing. You see the launch of our marketing campaign, and you see ads on the television, and regularly now begin to put up the advertising material around the host cities for the Confederations Cup. because this is an important challenge. When New Zealand play Iraq, we need to have a full stadium, and it's going to be a challenge. Brazil versus Italy, Spain versus Papana, I think perhaps those kind of matches will fill the stadiums, but it is other matches where we have a challenge. And we hope that we will be able to get the support for people to come to the stadium and support the teams, because they're all champions in any case. They're champions of their continent. Tourism, it's an important strategic outcome that we want to have 10 million tourists by 2010. And you can see the increase in tourism over the period from 2003 to 2007. You can see the increase in tourism. And that also, in a sense, deals with the question of security, because if the country was so unsafe and dangerous as sometimes we are being led to believe, then I think the tourism flow should have shown a reverse of that graph. And therefore, if you fly from any European destination into South Africa, you'll see those flights are full. So people are coming to this country. The flights are full. In fact, we have to fly people in December, and we can't get the flights out of London. All of the flights from London are full, are fully booked now already. So people are coming to the country. It's not the kind of situation that sometimes we are left to believe. Fan pass is a major issue, as you raised, Chair, and I think this is a matter that you must take up in a joint meeting between yourselves, the SABC, and ourselves. Because always in the World Cup, starting with France 98, because it was just spontaneously in 98 in France, where people gathered and they put the big screen. Then in 2002, also, it was just people gathering. I think the first time that it was really formalized with rules and regulations and so on was in Germany, 2006. Now, in this World Cup, we came with two innovations. One is the so-called Category 4 ticket. Because we understand the specific conditions of our country and the meaning of football and the World Cup for the people of this country. So, we then used different terms. We said the fan park is then understood in the context of the World Cup. And therefore, the commercial affiliates should have all their rights expressed and exercised in the fan park. But then we created two public viewing areas. And I think the name is self-explanatory. It's a public viewing area. It is not a fan park. So by name, we wanted to distinguish. And then people start raising, well, can I have sponsorships, and can I bring other parties, and they pay for it, and so on. So the idea of a commercial venture around the public areas also emerged in the discussion with many individuals, the cities, and so on. So we said, okay, then we must distinguish between two public viewing areas, a commercial public viewing area and a non-commercial or a community public viewing area. Now, central to all of these things is the public broadcaster, because if you don't have a signal, or they don't agree to give you the signal, there's nothing you can do. So the SABC is central to hold this whole discussion. Now, if the SABC then sees the public viewing areas as an income generator, a revenue stream for the SABC, then I think we're going to have a different discussion. Because then it's going to be difficult, because then the SABC wants to make a revenue out of the public viewing area. So I think that we would need to sit down with you, the SABC, and the cities, and discuss it.
and then come with a proposal. And I think we need to do that rather urgently, because this is a matter that has been dealt with over a long period of time. And in some cases, we may have to deal with understanding that has already been crystallized and almost agreed upon. So I don't know what your specific approach would be on the matter, but I would just suggest that we should come together as a matter of urgency if you need or you want to make an input on this matter in order to ensure that the public would have access to these areas. Of course, there are also the question of non-host cities that have raised this. How do we deal with public green areas in non-host cities? Of course, we can't bring all the non-host cities to such a gathering, but perhaps through SALGA or some representative body to deal with the non-host cities and public green areas in there. But I think it is an urgent matter, and perhaps we talk to see how we can meet as soon as possible around this matter. That is the response, and you can see as the stadium moves closer to completion, you'll find the response would be more and more positive. That is the number of volunteers applying for the Confederations Cup. The training program has emerged, and some of the volunteers, in fact, working already. The Confederations Cup, those are the champions coming to the World Cup, the Confederations Cup. You see there, Iraq is the champion of Asia, Egypt the champion of Africa, Spain, Italy the world champion, New Zealand, Oceania champion.
In this game, have you put Iraq and America together?
on Saturday.
Please don't try that.
There's the United States. So all of these teams coming are champions. Brazil is the champion of South America, the United States the champion of North America, Spain the champion of Europe, Egypt the champion of Africa, Iraq the champion of Asia, New Zealand the champion of Oceania, and Italy is coming as the world champion, and Bafana, as I said, they come as the champions of our heart. So this is it's a huge test and an opportunity for Bafana. Those are the teams that you pointed out. The possibility of United States versus Iraq is real. And this is on the football pitch. And I think it's a unique opportunity for South Africans to support if that game comes as a result of the draw, to support that game because the president-elect is talking about change. So perhaps on the level of football and people, South Africans can help these two nations to celebrate what is common in both countries. So that is going to be quite a unique match. I know the security chief will have to deal with all of the matters relating to that match. There you see the match schedule. The first match is at Ellis Park, and then the bottom row of matches that is in Mangaung, Bloemfontein, you'll see the matches there. Of course, we are working with the city, and one of the things there is to get people in and out. You'll see that two of the matches would be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but two would be at 8 o'clock in the evening. And of course, one of the challenges in that city of Roses is the drop in temperature soon after sunset. And then, of course, the other thing is to fly people in and out of the city after the match. But we are working on those things. It just means that the airport, unlike the tradition in the area, closes early. We need to work overtime on those days, and we need to get charters to get people in and out. But we are happy with the progress made to deal with the challenges in that regard. There are some of the clips from the last Confederation Cup. That is the media operation for the Confederations Cup. You've seen some of the best players in the world, and all of those players will come to the country and will come to Mangaung and Tuane and all of the other cities hosting these events. Players like Akar, Ronaldinho, Adriano, you saw them there. They will be in this country together with other players, among the best players in the world. The players who are coming here, out of the players nominated for the FIFA Player of the Year, 20 of those players on the list will in fact be in this country. The 20 nominated best players of the year for FIFA will be here during the Confederations Cup. And a high number of them come from the Spanish team and the Brazilian team, so we'll see some of the best players in the world in our country. I'm not going to dwell on the legacy. I'm going to a long video on the legacy. I'm going to run through that. So these are the things that you asked me to raise. What are the challenges? Of course, the first and biggest challenge, the question of cost. And I think the cities are here, they will also tell you that this is one of the challenges. And therefore, cost relates to time. If we don't deal with the question of cost, we may become under pressure relating to the time of completing all these things. And some of the issues, of course, last year, many investigations were made into the overrun on the stadium and other construction. It was generally agreed that that amount is in and around 3.2 billion. I have Rayanda here, who on our behalf also worked on this matter to determine the cost. Of course, the contribution made in the October budget was 1.4, and therefore there's still a gap that must be addressed. So, as I say, the cities will address this issue with you. But that is one of the issue, and that relates also to the question of time. The third issue is, of course, is the transition and next year's election. We must just make sure that we maintain the continuity in the cities. As we found, we had in this city, in Cape Town, an election and a change in the government. And then we had a difficulty where we had to take quite some time to get the new administration up to speed. And this is an issue that we have to take into account. How do we deal with this transition? And whether or not the new elected officials, and I'm not talking about change of party, sometimes just change of personality may result that people have higher levels of energy or no energy in terms of the project. So that is one of the issues that we certainly have to deal with. Then there are detailed issues of overlay responsibility matrix. And then there is the global economic crisis and what its final impact would be, not least of which would be the ability of fans to travel and whether or not these fans will have money to come and support their teams in the World Cup. So these are factors that, of course, we don't have the answers for. But if matters go the way people predict, we just have to monitor these issues. But I think for ourselves, the big issue, as no doubt the cities would reiterate here, is that we have to deal with the question of the cost. Thank you, Chair.
That's a brief. Honourable members, let's ask questions of clarity, but there may some of the questions that you might get might not necessarily be tailor-made for your presentation, so we'll accept the flexibility, like the market. Honourable members, the time for you to clarify from the presentation by Danny. Danny, you raised the issue of the challenge which cost related and the timing and or delay cost problems around the challenge of cost escalation. What causes that? Because I think you and I have agreed, and the whole cities have assured me that they have submitted their business plans, and those business plans and then were in a way interacted and others were evaluated and all that. And finally, business plans were accepted. This delay, what is this delay that might cost us a cost escalation, and when the business plan has been submitted? I think we should be running, because business plans are there, and the cap for cost escalation, was it little, or what is it, why is it just like that? Because when we met with the gentleman there, the other time, we even raised the issue of the capping of the cost, and say, let us anticipate that the escalation, and then what is the margin that you are looking at, and say escalations might vary from 0 to 10 or 0 to 20 and all that, because when you have created that and then you cap it, then you have accommodated that fluctuation. What is this problem? But I'll ask you, but I just want to hear from your view, what is this a challenge of cost that are created by the delay
when the business plan can be submitted.
Chair, let me just give you one example and a concrete example. And let me talk about a city with Nokia, Sony. We need to replace some of the seats. The cost of the replacement of seats is 80 million, small amount. However, Sony says they cannot go out and tender unless they have the money. So if they don't have the money, they don't go out and tender. The seats must be in, the seats are not in, and so on. So that's why I'm saying that, and the city is a better place to talk about it. Unless they have the money, they can't go out to tender. If they don't go out to tender, they cannot meet the completion date. So it is that kind of circle that you're dealing with. I think the city is a better place to talk about their own business plan, but perhaps Rianda can talk to you generally about the cost increases in the stadium and some of the issues and challenges there. But it will differ from city to city. We have seen Cape Town is going through that process now of dealing with the question of cost and budgets, because the other items also the cities must provide for. They are going through that process, and out of that, they are talking about 660 million for stadium construction. They have to decide the other cost. And this will, of course, differ from city to city. And I think the cities are best place to talk about the individual challenges in this regard. But beyond that, can perhaps give you, from the industry point of view, some comments on
that. But Liam, do you want to comment on that?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Steve. I can comment, Honorable Chairperson. I would like to say, as a opening statement, we never speak on behalf of the cities, as both the technical team, they speak for themselves as far as issues of management of the contract and issues of cost. But certainly, as the technical team members of the organizing committee, we report on matters we observe, we report on matters that are raised by both cities, and we report those to the board. In terms of the cost, I mean, if we look across the board, I mean, all cities essentially are running over budget, and I'm not going to go into the individual figures in this meeting because that's not where I report. But generally, what has happened is that there are a number of factors that seem to have affected the cost. The one big one, obviously, is that there's something in the industry that has crept in the whole building industry, which sometimes is called the stadium factor. Somehow we've seen higher levels of cost escalation than would normally be the case in the industry. And I think it's a phenomenon that will not be only experienced in South Africa, but it's an international trend that these mega events create that kind of expectation and then actually heat up the economy, the building industry economy. The other one, Honorable Chairperson, the CEO has presented fabulous data, and history will judge us whether, in fact, would be able to fund those stadiums from the budgets that had initially been allocated. Now, that's a process, again, the organizing committee has no influence on. The cities went out to tender, others went to competition, and were able to develop stadiums which are going to be world-class, no doubt. But I think the issue is whether the budgets that were envisaged would actually meet the requirements of those kinds of stadiums, because you can build a normal stadium, you can build a fabulous stadium. And the question is, did we want to build Toyota or did you want to build Lamborghini? That's just my analogy. But I think the most important thing, again, we've got to mention is that stadiums have become very, very specialized buildings and facilities. Most of the elements cannot be produced locally. Some maybe, but a lot of them are produced from abroad. The roof for the stadium in Nelson Mandela is being produced in Kuwait. And I don't know if the members know, the Rosie board had to send a delegation to Kuwait to go and establish the progress there. Some of the stadium roofs are being produced in countries far away, Poland, some in Spain, some membranes are being produced in Mexico, some glass panels for the Cape Town Stadium are being produced in Germany. So you do find that because stadia have become so sophisticated, and the designs that we also have in South Africa are very complex because of the global environment which we want to be players in, come at a cost. So all those import duties and the factor of actually having to import some of these elements has an impact on the cost. And the other aspect, obviously, is the question of time. The World Cup has no moving date. The Fed Cup has no moving date. So we have to make sure that whatever happens on the contract has to be within the deadlines that are given. Now, obviously, all those have an impact on the cost. So our role as a technical team is to monitor the situation, to raise flags when there are problems, when there are budget pressures, we have to raise those issues with the board, and then they have to be taken up at a higher level. So in a nutshell, those would be the factors that will have caused the high cost escalation. Now, the CEO has just instructed us in the previous week to go back to the host cities, even though we do have constant records which are being compiled together with treasury, to perhaps get the host cities to itemize the issues that have, that can be regarded as a reason for the high cost escalation and the budget overruns that we face. So that process is ongoing, and we will be submitting a report to him on those issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much. But what was the cap around creating a dispensation for the escalation of cost due to this hype of the luxury and the make money quick of the building of the city because of all the inflation? What is the whole city put today in your view? I'll ask them, but I just have to remember, you have technical people, you know that you can have a threshold of 7%, 25%, whatever. What is the threshold that is being given to the whole city? That you have agreed upon, right?
Well, 10%.
Again, when we were evaluating the cost reports and cost estimations by the whole city way back in 2006, and preparing for the finalization of the business cases. The ranges that the cities had given was from 5% escalation, the lowest, which I think was Polokwane, to 20%, which Cape Town had wanted included. What was agreed upon between the DBSA at the time and Treasury, with our input as technical people representing the LOC, was that if we look at what is normally used in the costing of buildings by the South African Quantity Surveyors Association, the BRI index, at the time the BRI index of escalation, which is used as a measure, was around 7-8%. What was agreed upon was that host cities must allow for a 10% escalation. That basically was the cap. Now we are seeing that in some of the items, that cap is not adequate, it's being surpassed. And in the case of Cape Town, it has gone beyond 15% in some of the items. And I think that is actually an average across the board. So we do have cap that was established, which was around 10%, and the host cities, some of them did indicate that this national, which was DRI industry, which was at 7-8%, is the measure we should be using as a guide, because that's all we can do. So it was put around 10% at the time.
Then my last question, again to you, Buddhia. At that time, 8% was adequate. But at this time, in terms of turbulence of the market, we don't know when it's going to end up. To what extent is it affecting the finishing up of those idioms in terms of them finally being forced? Because that 8% might have been way below the average. But in any event, that others have gone to 5%, which is not realistic. Have you advised them to say this is going to put you in trouble? Push it up to a at least normal 8% like any other person, or what was the final advice to them?
All cities, Honorable Chesterton, were advised to use 10%. Now, I will not have the figures because within the technical team, that is not my department. I will not have the figures whether each city actually applied 10%. But that was a recommendation to all of them at the time.
Okay. The other question was a little bit unfair to you, because I wanted to ask you, at this present time, when we have put it at 10% in 2006, at this time, with a kind of market volatility, is it realistic that they could stick to that, or in your view, it's not realistic, so that at least the department and the ministers must see how can they deal with that kind of a situation. But if it is okay, there is no problem. I'm saying that fair question because you know you say you're not necessarily dealing with those. But from where we sit as members, the utility says to us that 8% is not realistic. 3 years down the line, with what is happening outside on the market forces, unless you as experts are saying no, it's just a view that you have, but the reality is that 8% remains a correct threshold.
I think, Chair, what I can say on that, because we are dealing with these matters on a month-to-month basis in the whole city, I think they are best equipped to actually give the specific answers, because they are dealing with the import duties, they are dealing with, because it's not applicable on each and every building item. There are certain items that push it up. But just to give you a view on this, in 2006, when the budgets were being finalized, the 8% was applicable at the time, and I think on a collective basis of the different role players, Treasury, DBSA, the view was held that if it is pegged at 10%, that allows for an additional 2%, which would cater for further escalation. But no one at that time would have predicted that there would be what is called the global crisis now, which perhaps will also have its own effect in terms of some of the products we import, because now they are more expensive. So that is a factor which, at this point, I cannot answer you and say, now, is the 10% realistic or not? I cannot, and I wouldn't be in a position to do that.
No, thanks, Captain. Then, are you having a question, members? Because of, yes, the rate and the Ganon, the families, yes.
Thank you, Chair. My question would be, at the time that you made the adjustment of 10% to the original cost, the things that were, if you enter into a context, for example, Nelson Mandela made with Kuwait, was to fix at that time or subsequent to that, because really, we wasn't done at that time, you can expect a high increase now. So the question is, what still needs to be done in terms of completing the contract? Will that be set at a new price with a higher increase of over by about 10%?
And it is just come as a long as you can to add to your closing point. Yes, Ganopri.
No, so then, Chair, I think for me, Charles have one question, which is, you said, some of them will overlap. But I also want, I just want to first, thank the CEO for a good presentation. My only worry is that this good news, we don't get to see them in the media, that we are on track, we are, you know, all the goody-goody. One concern, Mr. Jordan, which is irrelevant to this meeting, but relevant to other politicians, is the story that's going around to say there's this recap program from the Department of Transport about taxes, and people were made to buy these new taxes called INYAT. But now FIFA has come up to say they don't meet their standards, therefore there's this perception out there that everyone is going to benefit in terms of transporting people. And the last one, Chairperson, I want to concur with the proposal in terms of your public voting basis, that we must immediately have a meeting with the NRC, ourselves, and SABC, because the aim is to make sure that every South African enrolls and benefits either commercially or by being part of this thing. Therefore, I would really recommend it. Thanks, Chair.
Those are the only, oh, this was the lovely. Oh, we like to get for tomorrow. Okay. I'm giving you a chance. It's the last, sorry.
No, thank you, Chair. I also concur with the sentiments expressed by the previous speaker that we are glad that progress is there and we are on track. But, Chair, in view of the presentation, the campaign at schools, I just wanted to get some sort of information as to what extent has this been infiltrated to the rural component in bringing them on board, firstly, and secondly, in view of the public viewing areas as alluded to by the chairperson, what agreements, etc., have been concluded to ensure those that come in there to sell the pub and car, etc., have been catered for. Lastly, Chairperson, from my observation, during the preliminary draw, I have noticed that many people that are present at the draw perhaps might not be associated with sporting fraternals or etc. And many that have been icons of sporting were not at that preliminary draw. Is that going to be the practice ongoing? Thank you.
The last one, last but one, Bangalore, I'm definitely closing down. This one.
Thank you very much. I think the previous members have raised some of the issues on this case. But it is that I think it needs serious attention. It's a mobilization issue and information. I know that there is a need for informing our people what is but I don't see this having an impact. I don't know anything about what is happening really as a member of parliament. I only hear my star when he says, we are practicing some tap corner for the opening event. We have already been contracted to participate. Then I look at Trump business. Something like Trump. I said, hey, I never heard that already. There are people contracted for the opening event. So my son, he throws a stick up and down and hold it this side and that side while the friend is sitting. I don't know that kind of thing. But he told me that he's going to be a man. Hey, you know more than I know. So it's a bit of a problem. I'm not worried about the South African media. It will never change. It's a given, you must accept that. They are all negative because for the particular regime. The last thing, it's unfortunate that some of the elements such as like a roof, putting up a roof, or when you build a house, you put a roof, it has to come from wood. Well, we must leave that because I don't know how it was planned. I thought we can do the roof, but I felt what was not important is of it. That when that roof has to be put up, if the wind says it must be torn, but they can't put it up when there's wind. I don't know whether those people who are planning the roof looking to understand the climate and the winds in Port Elizabeth, the windy city, but very friendly. Not how I know. That one Saturday, the whole Saturday, which was overtime, they couldn't put up the roof. The engineer would look at it, and then there's a slight wind and say, no, stop, we can't continue. You see, I don't know whether those pieces were looked at.
Thank you.
But with due respect, Chair, I wonder, Kuwait and Germany and the other countries that we counted,
yeah.
I wonder, do they have the high levels of unemployment? Was in jail. Just to meet you, Chair. I don't know whether I heard and understand this increase of prices correct. You said that Cater has gone up by 15%, right?
Was the only one that has gone up to?
Is it the only one?
Yes.
No.
Not the only one. Okay.
I'd be happy if one can have these increases, whole city per whole city. Because some whole cities which have been treated with kid gloves, that's what I've noticed. And some are doing increases with IT, so one would like to know this. Because the richer whole cities, really, they benefit more than the poorer whole cities. And that is where we want to get clarity of this issue. The last question on the ticket for the Confederation Cup. As indicated, Danny, that it has to be filled by South Africans. Our people, the poorest of the poorest, will be in a position to purchase those tickets. Are they in their reach or not?
Yeah. Those were the last questions, and then you share them. Others belong to your body, and the others belong to Danny.
Chair, I think the roof of Kuwait and the wind in PE is best answered by the city, although I must say I live in that city, and it's very friendly, very, very friendly. Yeah, so the wind is a very friendly wind. The next question is around the taxi and the recap program. 2 weeks ago, we had a meeting together with the Minister of Transport and Santaco, and this matter was raised. You see, sometimes the problem, Chair, is our town. The transport of taxis, in our discussion, we said the taxis must assist us in transporting the fans. The security and all other regulations around the taxis is a matter for South Africans. But sometimes what we eat, we drink, and how we breathe, we all want to run to FIFA to hear FIFA speak. Never happened over 100 years. And so there are issues that are just South African issues. The tourists come in and out. No one asks. What are the FIFA regulations for tourists coming in and out of the country? Every day, every year, since 2004. So sometimes it's not a FIFA issue, it's our own issues. We create these problems. But leave that aside, I think the more important issue that we recognize we have to deal with is the role of the taxi in complementing, particularly around the bus rapid transport. And these are issues to show it as a complementary and a support function rather than a function that will exclude or
isolate and therefore alienate the taxi industry. So we will continue this discussion with the Minister of Transport. In fact, we will encourage them to participate in the program of recapitalization. Of course, there's another cost issue. Then perhaps you can deal with the Department of Transport around the funding on an ongoing basis for the taxi recap program, because it's also an issue. Don't know whether there is funding up to the completion of the program. So there are issues that have emerged there, perhaps also within a matter of funding. This is an important matter. We dealt with the taxi industry during the bid stage in both 2006 and 2010, and it is a very sensitive and very complicated matter, and therefore it's a matter that we have to take very, very seriously. So we will engage them on an ongoing basis. The schools campaign, of course, the other problem is that there is no strong centralized authority in the taxi industry. You may meet with people at the national level, but sometimes in the region are different, even within the group, there are different positions taken. And that's what I'm saying, rather complex issue. The schools campaign, I think we'll go back and perhaps this committee can also get a report from the Department of Education, because we've signed an agreement with the Department of Education, and we will get the information from them exactly how many schools participate, what is the level of participation in each school, how many pupils are we talking about, and so on. But it was certainly the intention to include all schools, including rural schools. Question of public green areas in rural areas, of course, that is something that we want rural areas to be part of. Question of pop and place is again, we cannot have fan parks where you only drink Budweiser and eat McDonald's. It's just unrealistic. So I think again, we create those issues that everything we do and say, we want FIFA's approval for it. And the public viewing areas was exactly intended to set it aside from the fan park. And therefore, the sooner we have that meeting, the better to clarify all these things so that we have a common understanding. The question of prelim law and ICON, I think this is always a difficult question. Fact of the matter is we only have a very limited number of available spaces of seats in any of the banquets that normally you find you oversubscribe, and then you have to see how you can balance, but never to the satisfaction of everyone. FIFA always reminds you that this is a World Cup, it's a world event, and therefore you cannot fill the entire hall with only South Africans. So normally what we do, we agree that any space in terms of seats allocated will be a 50-50 split. So whatever the capacity of the hall, we only have 50%, and then we will have so many constituent groups and so many people to accommodate, and invariably you'll have huge pressure to accommodate everybody. But we will try, if there are specific individuals or names that I could get from you that you think is worthy, we will certainly do our best to make sure, because this is a South African event. It should reflect that, and in the people sitting in all of our activities, that must be reflected. Question of mobilization and information. I think I just want to assure my the honorable member.
Okay. Reverend Solo.
Oh, the Mfundis. I just want to assure the Mfundis, our kids do know more than us. They know things that we don't know because they sit in front of the computer the whole day. So they sense the whole world. But I think the question of information and mobilization, we cannot mobilize the community unless there's information. And we did undertake to strengthen the flow of information to the communities, and of course we need the support of the whole city to make sure there's a consistent flow of information. And as I said, we've seen Jacome being part of that campaign of public information and mobilization, and this will be strengthened next year. Question of ticket prices. The Confederation Cup, the cheapest ticket would be 70 rand. You know, all the ticket prices have been set in dollars, and that category 4 was set at $10. But what we've done in addition to that, we fixed the exchange rate at 7 rand to the dollar. And so the price is 70 rand, and that gives price certainty and price stability to the fans. Otherwise, today they were paid 100 rand instead of 70 rand, and therefore I think already we've shown the kind of signal that that's an important market and we want people to buy the tickets and to come. And I think that 70 rand for a match reserve like Italy is a price that you won't find anywhere else in the world. And so the cheapest price in Germany is 55 euros. $11 today will be 350 rand. In Korea, Japan is $50. It will be 450 rand. And our price is 70 rand. That's almost 10 years later. Very few things that will be cheaper 10 years later than 10 years ago. And this is an attempt to embrace all big fans in South Africa. I hope I've covered all the questions. As I said, the question of Kuwait and the 10% adjustment, I think the city is the best able to deal with those questions.
Yes, sir.
The one question, Chair, which the Honourable Member asked about the fixing of the exhibition and whether those amounts are not there. I must remind the Honourable Member that the stadium funding project has been undertaken by our government. And I think we must remember that all matters relating to the expenditure of public funds in South Africa is governed by the Public Finance Management Act. The city manager knows better than I do. What that means is that, in fact, let me add to say that the funds that we made available for the host cities were not given as a lump sum. They've been released in transit, which means that cities could go at any given time out to tender on the funds that are approved, which means that therefore in 2006, 2007, the cities would only be able to go out to tender on the funds that were sufficient at the time. So it would never have been possible to fix the prices of the entire city because the funds, you couldn't go out to tender when the funds were not there. So those are some of the issues that obviously would have an impact in that you could not have fixed your prices at the time when the funds were actually approved in total because you didn't have access to all the funds. So some items were tendered later. The issue of Swana, which the CEO has raised with the seats, even now, they haven't been able to go out to tender now, which means that whatever price would have been estimated at the time, you go out to tender, it is high because it is further down the line. Because maybe at the time, that particular amount was not part of the budget allocation which they had. So these are some of the issues that have made it very difficult to say you can fix your entire stadium budget in 2006 and be sure that you will actually be paying that amount in 2009-2010. Wouldn't be possible. And I do wish to place on record that the project which the government has embarked on, and I know I'm getting into territory which is not mine, must never be forgotten and underestimated that it is the biggest funding of an event like this for SEDA, which are going to put South Africa in a world-class kind of sporting country setup. And I think what is going to be achieved with that, even with those stadiums, which I think are fabulous, as I said, it is going to be one of the most successful things that we will have done and contributed. So I think that issue must never be underplayed at any level. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Thank you. Then one thing that we want to put on record, and it must be now, Chief Nongonya. Our committee and parliament appreciate the offer for the workers who are constructing this stadium to give them tickets to be able to be part of the construction that they have done. It's something that was very exciting to see that kind of a bold stand for those people, because they have converted from now to partly the ownership of the stadium as and when they build those stadiums. But you see, Danny, I don't want you to respond on this thing, but I'm raising to you. In what the gentleman raised, I'm whispering now. I can see there's a red, big red light in front around the challenges of the municipality. Because let me give you an example. The example that is raised. But I know for a fact, because checking records as and when and quarterly basis, how stadiums are funded. By the time you put the seat, and 3 years, when you made this offer, or 4 years, when you made this offer, you said the seat is too rough. Because you have not arrived to put in the seat, and that seat has gone to 8 rounds. I do not think it's the making of the municipality. I do not think so. Because, as Mr. Mpaka said, you don't fund the entire business plan and say, there's the money, go and do whatever you want to do. You fund the phases as and when a certain phase has been completed and then it's funded the must wait. It means that in that process, we must all of us know that there will be some delay. As soon as there is no money, host cities are not going to advertise for things that are urgent because there is no money and they can't make a commitment as host cities to go and go on a tender for the money that it is not there. They will have to wait for the money to come and start kickstarting the advert and shortlist and do all those things in 4 or 5 months down the line. It's obvious that they got. They will be getting the right candidate and the work is starting there. That is going to be, in the manner in which Nkala is set up, that is going to be the pattern all the time. When they budgeted for the seat, which is an example, and they build and then they go and put some holes and do everything and pile it and complete the stadium in construction and say, we have budgeted for a one-seat tour route, and 4 years down the line, 3 years, and even two, that seat is no more tour route. And I do not think, it's a matter that then in the meeting that we have to have with the DT and the National Senior, we must understand, because to us, you can't understand that you can say somebody must fix it at tour route, and then 3 years down the line, if it still remains 2 rounds, when it says 12 rounds, you say, no, it's escalation. It's about 150%, and then you're not budgeted for that in that way. It's a simple logic that dictates to all of us that, no, you can't be like this. It can't be like that. Because prices have gone up because we are paying on faces, and by the time we arrive at that particular level, and the prices have gone up, we must accept that trade. Because if a worst scenario, or it was going to be a very clumsy, not manageable scenario, you take the whole 1 billion, you give it to my country. you are still going to be facing that problem. But for now, I don't think it will be his problem if that happens. It's just thing that in the meeting that we have to discuss, we must understand this kind of thing. Because the city has a responsibility to build the RDP houses for our people post 2010. And I do not think there's any city that will reach and say, no, there's money that we're going to get. So let us just budget and then we'll get it at that time. I don't know what the Municipal Finance Management Act says to that extent, but I do not think it allows that they must take their money for purposes of the 2010, when there is a dollar grant that deals with that, and then just for them to be able to check the time and the escalation. And I'm sure I'm going to hear from them. Others are going to be way above the time in the manner in which I understood what the gentleman is saying in and around how do you work this thing for you to get it. I'm sure you're running behind at 3 months, 4 months, because you have to put those adverts, you have to do the shortlisting, you have to do, and you only do those things when the money is in your pocket. So I want to, all of us as members understand the challenge that is faced by this. And have you ever have any member from the local organizing committee talking to you about something called treasure here in Parliament? It's called the unfunded mandate. Have you ever had them talking about that kind of thing? And then what was probably your response to the so-called unfunded mandate? Because the Director General of my department, when is this time of the annual report, and then we asked him that, and then he explained to us that there were unfunded mandates so that we know whose responsibility was his teaching. Unfunded mandate. You know that you have not, that is an unfunded mandate, and then you know it's against the law, why should you do it? So I want to find out whether I have ever, because I'm going to ask them about their unfunded mandate, because the reports that I've seen, there are some of you who are doing what you call unfunded money as we speak, which is something that you have to look into that. Yes, David.
No, Chair. That matter was never raised in any forum where I was present. The DG of Finance is now a board member, and he will be attending his first meeting on the 24th of November. So, gives us an opportunity to engage him on a regular basis around these issues, but for now, that matter was never raised.
Now, I'll plead with you, Dean, you must coach me. We have met with several home cities. They're talking about other things which are unfunded mandate. I want us to interact with that and be able to deal with it as quick as possible, because there is that language in the municipalities. Complexities of unfunded money. The last point, Jenny. The last point. The last point, Jenny. Don't talk to the DG. Leave it. Sit there. The last thing, the Nelson Mandela Center. We have consistently interacted with, what is that? The gentleman in the white hair today, Graham Richards, and the Nelson Mandela. The Nelson Mandela gave us a record of what they have presented around meeting the deadline. They even have done what you call an adjustment in terms of completely closing the gap in meeting the deadline for their failure. We are of the view, as the committee, that in our view, we don't see anything unto what the Nelson Mandela has done to deserve that they must not get. Because up until now, last week when I was there, they were putting glasses on the stadium. That stadium is complete. And we are vindicated, because I think it is us only saying, but whoever has made that judgment, what informs that kind of a judgment? And if there was an expert who had that judgment, you must tell us. We as people who are not experts, we must engage him and find out those expertise that he had in as far as making that kind of a prediction. What has informed that? Because me as an ordinary literary person,
I'm informed by the building that is there. Maybe it's informed by other things. I want to know. I'm highly interested in the issue of Nelson Mandela Stadium. And I think daily I have the greatest opportunity in my life to be able to tell the South African people that I have asked my comrade Danny Jordan personally today in the meeting of the portfolio committee. What has informed the decision of closing out for Nelson Mandela? When, as we speak, Nelson Mandela has completed his program, and the stadium is there, David, I went to deliver the stadium to you. And there is nobody going to play there. Maybe it's kids who are going to play there. Can you respond to that, David? From there, I will release you with the greatest honor. I will talk to the whole city because you have requested the time.
I'm asking the expert whether he wants to respond. He was the expert now and say he doesn't want to respond. That's a good response. You want to make a few remarks. If you don't, I'm quite happy.
No, the one thing that I request from you.
Yeah, let me deal with the matter.
Yeah, deal with the matter. If you deal it in other way, I will take offense to open up camera for you.
Okay.
And I will speak the way I usually speak when I'm not comfortable. So let us deal with it in a different way. Because I'm completely not hearing all of us about what is happening.
You see, Chair, in these things, at the end of the day, it's a judgment call that you have to make. And sometimes in a judgment call, particularly if you make it, in our case, in July, for something that happens in the next June, you're quite correct. You may be wrong. But, Chair, let me deal with the matter. In the board meeting on the 26th of November 2007 in Durban, the matter was raised, and there was a report on the stadium in Nelson Mandela Bay that the stadium is running behind and that the roof has certain complications and so on. The board then, after discussion with FIFA, wrote a letter to give so-called staggered timeline, specifically for the PE stadium, to say that by this date you should meet this date. And so there was not then one completion date for everything, but a staggered completion date. And that was done because at that time, on the 27th of November, if there was a single timeline, even if you missed one item, as was the case then it meant that we had to take a decision on the 27th of November that TV should be out. So the staggered timeline was intended to buy time, in a sense. So PE was then in, based on that. Then the board said further that we should send a delegation to Kuwait to go and look at the production processes, the competency, and all of the in the production of the roof elements, which would then have to be transported from Kuwait to Port Elizabeth for the stadium in North Mandela Bay. And so that was done. The delegation was led by the former Deputy Minister of Finance, Dapamola Keke, together with technical people, Eugene Van Pier and others, who went there and submitted the report. So that was one report that was placed before the board. The second report was from a series of meetings, including a meeting of the GS of FIFA, who actually went to the stadium together with Jim Brown, and I was there with them. And then the final report from the technical team. So all of those reports were then placed before the meeting. But then there was another report which had emerged from people also on the stadium. So all these reports were considered, discussed, and then it was a decision of the board, not of FIFA, of the LOC board. That is where the decision was taken. And the board agreed that we should inform Nelson Mandela Bay that we should not any longer include Nelson Mandela Bay as one of the venues of the Confederation Cup based on these reports. Of course, it then became our responsibility to get hold of the mayor. The mayor, I think, was in Ghana at the time. The mayor was in Ghana, the city manager was in Ghana, unfortunately, and I managed to get hold of them. So I spoke to them and conveyed that, unfortunately, the board had taken that decision and that they were no longer being part of the Confederation Cup, based on the report of the time in July. Now, of course, the placing of the seats have been accelerated by the city, and they've done an excellent job. In fact, they told me at one stage that they've accelerated so much that they have to ask the workers to reduce the pace at which they were installing these seats. So they've made tremendous progress. Of course, now you're in a situation where the tickets are printed. The tickets are going on sale on Sunday, and FIFA was very clear that there was talk of another stadium. But FIFA was clear, and I think that was also my position, that the Confederations Cup is a test event for the World Cup. And therefore, only those stadiums that they're going to use in the World Cup must be included in the Confederations Cup. And on that basis, any stadium that is proposed, which is not going to be a World Cup stadium, is actually not in line with our decision that this is a test event for the Confederations Cup. And on that basis, the board confirmed that only four stadia will be used: Ellis Park, Loftus, Royal Bafokeng, and the Free State Stadium in Malawi. So those are the four stadiums. And of course, you saw they had to revise the match schedule. So there was a lot of things that we had to do because our transport plans we had to realign. There are a lot of things that the city has done. The city had a volunteer program already underway. There was going to be the Football for Hope program in the city. So we had to change substantially our program to realign it from five venues to four venues. And so, as I said, in the end, the board was not convinced in July of this year that come next year, March, that the stadium will be complete. And that is a judgment call, and as I say, based on the report at the time, the board is quite convinced that was the correct decision.
Yeah, I think our judgment as a committee is good. Reports that are coming to committee are excellent. We said we're not going to rely on those reports. We want to get it from you, because in this kind of report, but finally, you don't hit the target, because the report is something else. And the department, too, because Nongonyan knows. When you read those departments, you see people in South Africa live in heaven. But when you go there, they live in active poverty. It's because our judgment does not rely on the report of it. It's a sad story around the Nelson Mandela. And it has cost us years as government and as a committee, because this media is not as good as you think it is good to this government of South Africa. Media is completely hostile to the government. It said that day when I wake up in the morning, what the denial about Deni Jordan Kwame and Konkera that an option B is not the choice. There is Nelson Mandela out. It signals what we have been anticipating, that they will not meet the target. And those newspapers run all over the world, pushed by the very South African media, that this is the reflection of South Africa, and therefore the signal is that Nelson Mandela has already been armed. And therefore, it is clearly showing you that South Africa will not be in a position to meet the deadline for the 2010. And they have not asked you the rationale behind that, they have not asked anybody. It is their own conclusion for the market to run for the paper. That is my conclusion. Completely on track. And that has put us in a very awkward situation where we are. And the LOC, I think, at least one honor to meet with the mayor and talk to the mayor about this. You have done one good thing to phone the mayor. And I don't know what he said. I've not come to Nondumiso and speak about the best thing except engaging in others. I can tell you, she would tell you if she was asked by the before the board took the decision. She would have said, no, we're meeting the deadline. What you are giving is not a right story. And don't rely, because we don't rely on those things. Don't rely on those reports, because we don't rely on them. We're moving all over here. I can tell you the progress that is going on. I will tell you in the FNB that not even a single black person in the earth removing truck there and everything is benefiting the what company benefits in doing the FNB and all that. I will tell you, because we sneak in there and then talk to people there and say, we have said our people will benefit out of this. How many black people that they have trapped here that are removing the earth here? Say, no, none. Are you sure? Yes. You go a little bit deeper, you find that it is true. That is the thing. So, and it is not your problem. It's our own business as a committee to deal with that. And find out and say to you, then, the perception of the people of this country is that the few people benefit out of this thing at all costs. This is what we call as a reflection. And you can't deny it to our people. Because we said this is a festival of everybody. Centrally to this, for us to have these stories that are frightening in this country. But we must not ignore one responsibility of ourselves and making our people at least to buy a can of coke out of the work that we'll be getting out of this meeting and whatnot. But we appreciate the defense for everything. I'm just echoing the sentiment of all these members. It's a very sad story. We're not very happy about it. We'll never be happy about it. And time and again, the judgment made by the LOC, to me, questionable. I would have to look whether they made a correct judgment, because that kind of a judgment is the clearest mistake that would ever come back in this country. Thank you very much. We are leaving you today. Just a question. Oh.
I think on behalf of the delegation, I must express our appreciation for inviting the LOC and for interacting with them in the manner in which they are. I want to assure you that from the football fraternity, we accept this football because this parliament is part of the system. And so it's seriously. Congratulate him for having taken and being appointed to our team and also committing, of course, to our association to work with him and his team. And sadly, I think the point that Comrade Solo has observed correctly pointed out, I hope that our comrades in the media and all of us. I think, out of frustration, Comrade Solo has to say that it's time to give up on our leaders to the policies of our South Africa. I think all of us have worked very hard for our freedom, including freedom of the press. And I think that's a very good matter. That I draw their pain. Because we are not saying that they must write a quote about my time. But I think the point that has been made quite correctly is that when there are positive things as well reported today, let us see them Let us see then of patriotism among some of them. And I'm sure that we find out maybe the forum that we have similarly as we have already indicated about sexual capitalization problem. At least we have a forum with ours about South Africa. All eyes and ears of the world. Unfortunately or fortunately, the people who must communicate what is happening are our colleagues in the media. So, if to have a forum with them, share these things, that may be good. Because it is not so good in for the country, and that we must report negatively about all the time. We're not saying that they are not correct, report something that they need. Because they are also having a responsibility to that. But I felt that I must also say about that. And lastly, there was this issue of the workers. We were worried when there were no industrial actions, from Bella, for instance, and Rupana. And we were very pleased the manner in which our host cities attended that matter. Because also had an impact on the problem. Now that, of course, workers have got to buy in and everybody is really committed, we can only say clearly we're forced to actually hold another special like that. And this began, as Jenny has already pointed out, starting from the day, there is Bafana Bafana and Cameroon. And as I indicated to the country, that we said that we wanted that. We want Cameroon to be their time. And we're also very pleased that there is that patriotism that is actually emerging from amongst our there as well. Take the Jenny McCabe issue. Lord the Father, he could not actually meet this opportunity to go on to South Africa. I think we really appreciate that. And the support that we receive and we receive from the public is really encouraging. We can only hope that what Lawrence Santana and Jenny said yesterday, that they're going to actually bring to us the country's community. And they're also called to represent us next year. Because key to success hosting is the manner in which our national team plays. If the national team plays the offensive low pass, then we may have not a memorable Confederation Cup, the World Cup, that is coming. So, with those few words, I wanted to say thank you very much, and we look forward to see you. On Saturday during the tour, and of course I know this evening I would like to have be with you, but unfortunately the West demands that must be here, and I will count on your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The meeting between the portfolio committee, representative of the host cities, and the SADC will be as urgent as possible. And even if we ask from the chief extraordinary meeting before completely go on reserve, and then I am going to ask the office after finalizing this, communicate with you. You might not necessarily yourself coming, but we have to have a common understanding as quick as possible. I am going to make this meeting to come up very quick, and then we finalize that. There's a key outside for all of us. I think it is really cold now because we thought that we bring it at 11 o'clock, still warm. But thanks very much, Dennis, going and the others must have made. Let's have tea for 10 minutes quickly and come back, please. Okay, with the super pot. So, there's a piece of clothes. Yes.
Thank you, Professor. Chairperson, we are really the committee and we were expected to bring our communication manager. Unfortunately...
But did they tell you that message when they were here?
To explain to the things that...
I'm just asking Mr. Manager, did they tell you last year when they were here so that they must not come because we want to hear the communication?
Unfortunately, they did not check.
Okay, thank you.
Simply because during that time, I took a sabbatical, I took a short left. And when I came back, they decided to take a sabbatical, before they can hand over and give us information. So I was not around. But nonetheless, Chairperson, as part of an introduction, and particularly on this matter of communication, yes, I think we all agree that there needs to be uniformity. And probably that's why most of us, we could not move on communication per se. We just moved on issues that the LOC requested us to move on, adopting the logo for itself, which I think all cities have done. But the other shortcoming, Chairperson, in this regard, is the failure of our Department of Communication to assist all cities. I can indicate to the committee that we submitted a business plan to the department in 2006. And we've been also writing numerous letters to the head of department, to the minister, Department of Communication, for IT and communication matters. They have never responded to this. So, though we are having business plans that we have submitted and communication plans, there's not much that we can do simply because of the budgetary constraints that we are faced with and the lack of response from the third department. I think it is one thing that basically we will discuss in that meeting when we meet with the Department of Sports and Treasurer. I would request that we be given a chance to present and just give an overview after the request of the committee, and then later I will touch on some of the challenges that we are faced with as the city. I will give our coordinator for 2010, Mr. George Mshapara, to do the presentation.
Chairperson and honorable members, thanks for the opportunity and also the...
They said that you must talk about the concern of the ministers when they come from Zonfontein, that you have outsourced the stadium and you are having a problem in paying the money for those people who are requiring their own money around the stadium, that we are giving a safety at more than 560 million. So you are referring to me, I think, Marcella, and Marcella, the extent in which you have attempted to go out of that right here.
Chair, that will be covered in the presentation, and the city manager is also here to obviously, you know, add. Just very quickly, going through the stadium, you know, progress update. Chair, we prepared the information strictly in accordance with, you know, what you requested of us. So the focus was primarily on the stadium and also to some extent, you know, transport matters. You know, this is the stadium, a free state, you know, stadium. It's an existing stadium, and the major part of the work is being done on the main stand, that's on the Western Pavilion, and primarily to increase the seating capacity from the existing 38,000 to 46,000, and also address other, you know, associated matters such as, you know, floodlights, looking at the stadium media center, you know, accommodation or offices for, you know, the LOC, FIFA, including, you know, the dressing rooms. In terms of the contractual information, when we awarded the contract, it was
$252 million, and that was at the beginning of September 2007. So the project has been running for just over a year. And originally we were meant to finish the stadium at the end of August. Now, if we look at the revised contract details, we are projecting a contract end, you know, amount of about, you know, $260 million. So immediately you can see that you know, there is a difference of about you know, $8 million. Overall, I think you know, well managed in terms of you know, cost containment. However, the challenge that you know, we've always faced and even facing up to now is obviously the fact that the end of August has come and gone. So we are working towards meeting the FIFA deadline, which is in the end of December. Almost 80% of the work, you know, currently, you know, is completed. If we, and I'll just go through, you know, those details slightly later. If we look at the, you know, cash flow, you know, just coming back to the financial figures, you can see the table there. The column, the second column from the left, it's an indication of, you know, the budget. Spread between national, provincial, as well as the city. In total, it's about $305 million set aside, you know, for the upgrading, you know, of the stadium. In terms of the end figure that we're projecting, which is reflected on the second column from the right, we're going to end at about $315 million. So in total, we do have a shortfall if you take everything into account of about, you know, $10 million. I think relative to the total stadium budget, you know, it is an insignificant figure, and that's obviously an amount that you know, we can manage. I therefore can conclude and confirm that in respect of the upgrading of the stadium itself, you know, we do not have any you know, shortfall, you know, challenges, you know, currently, because the money, the additional money that is needed, you know, is really, you know, very, very small. If we look at the actual progress at the stadium, we have gone to the point of analysing each and every, you know, element that's on the critical path, you know, starting from your prefab seating, your roof, your roof trusses, you know, your spiral ramps, you know, behind the Western Pavilion to get to the upper tier, you know, and so on. And the last column on the right reflects, you know, the completion date as per the contractor's working program. And you would see on the far right, you know, some blocks there reflecting green. It means that, you know, those were the initial dates that were shown, but, you know, we obviously, you know, pulled that forward. And what you're saying is that just from this slide, the city is definitely going to be completed. We will have the spiral ramp also completed, although initially it was showing that it was going slightly over into January because of, you know, small outstanding work that was meant to be carried out, you know, in January. And some of the finishing is already done. And also, if you look at, you know, the civil work, you know, specifically, we just got about two items, you know, which obviously, you know, at the moment, you know, would reflect that, you know, we will have to do that in January. And I think one of them is in terms of the pitch, but there's a valid explanation for that. You know, we could not be able to start working on the pitch until the rugby program was done, because obviously we had a functional stadium, you know, and that finished the end of October. We've already appointed a contractor to, you know, fix the pitch, and, you know, they have to work on an 8-week, you know, program. So that's expected, you know, to be done by, you know, the end of January. But obviously, I mean, it's a pitch that is functional at the moment. It's just that we need to make sure that by the time we host the Confederation Cup, it will fully comply with the requirements of FIFA, and that's not going to be, you know, an issue. And then there's small things in terms of your landscaping, because obviously you have to wait until all the building work has been done. You know, in terms of just a summary of those key milestones, when we had a discussion with you know, the LOC, I think Dr. Dujan earlier mentioned that the tickets for the CONCACAF will go on sale instead of in November. One of the commitments that we had to make was to make sure that all the seating, not just the pre-cut seating, but, you know, the plastic seating, including the numbering, has to be done by the 23rd of November to make sure that I think when the tickets go on sale, you're talking about some of the seats that are existing at the stadium. And I can confirm that we already about 40% of the way in terms of the seating, and that will be finished by the end of this week. So definitely all the seats will be in place by the time the tickets go on sale. So all the activities will already be done. If you just look at the date here, by about the end of December. There's just two items that will roll over into January, and that's the pitch and also the landscaping. That would be outstanding. But I think from a compliance point of view, it's not critical items. We won't fully comply with the requirements of FIFA. Just in terms of our contractual disputes that are currently in existence, there's two. One is the payment parcel and also the claim for extension of time that was submitted by the contractor, because obviously they're now fearing having to pay penalties because we've gone beyond the original date that was agreed for the contract. The payment parcel is more of a administrative matter. It's really an issue that the contractor is expecting to be paid within 7 days, and we are paying that as an organ of state in 21 days. We have met and we both agreed that we could compromise on about 14 days. The one on the extension of time is a little bit of a complex one, and we've had discussion for quite a long time now. But I think we're close to finalizing it. We had a facilitator appointed by both parties, to try and help us find each other. The proposal on the table from the facilitator was that at an additional cost of 4.7 million, let the revised completion date be changed to 21st of November. Now, obviously, there's a difference between contract completion and actual completion. Now, as a city, what we needed as a guarantee, as part of this, as part of that success of the deal, was making sure that the day of the end of December would be able to to be compliant with obviously except the items that I have mentioned previously. So that's something that we in discussion with the contractor now to finalize. The 4.7 million that's reflected here, by the way, is included in the earlier 10 million that I've mentioned. We had a meeting or a visit by the executive committee of the LOC, chaired by Dr. Koza, where once there was an undertaking made in that meeting that the sitting would be done by the 23rd of November about that, and also then reiterating the point that we have to finish the work by the end of December, except obviously for those two items that are indicated. We provided them feedback in respect of the progress that we are making regarding finalizing the dispute with the contractor, and they were satisfied with the position of the city. Now, Chair, the point that I think you also have raised a question on it. Our stadium is owned by the city. However, we have a long-term lease agreement with Rugby Union, Pre-State Rugby Union. The lease agreement has been running from the beginning of 2000 or rather early 2000, I think it was December 2000. And it's a 20-year lease agreement, but with an option to Rugby to renew it for another 20. So if they accept, it means we would have committed ourselves for over 40 years. Now, because at the time it was not envisaged that the city would make any capital investment into the stadium, the nature of the agreement reflects what reflected as such. And due to the hosting of the World Cup in Malawi, we obviously then had to enter into an agreement separate from the main disagreement to firstly allow the handover of the stadium back to the city so that we can give it to the contractor to then do construction work. But also there was expression made by Rugby Union that the hosting of the World Cup is something initiated by the city, but has not been initiated by Pre-State Rugby, and therefore they would not want to see themselves being well off financially. So there was a commitment made by both parties that where there's justifiable losses, we will consider that, and obviously
find each other, all those losses. One of the issues that has already come and gone in terms of those implications was temporary office accommodations. We obviously had to get the officials of Rafi out of the main tent so that we can get construction work being carried out. And there was a small cost implication in terms of that, and we obviously as a city had to assist in that regard. The other more significant one relates to, for instance, the suites that are on the main stand are not accessible at the moment. And, Rafi has got a short-term agreement with, tenants who have, already some of them paid them. And as a result, the expectation was that because they could not be able to access the suites, there was an expectation that, we need to cover those losses. As you can see, they submitted a claim of about 1.4 million for the suite, and then lots of tickets on the seating that has been lost on the main stand amounting to 1.6 for the season tickets, and the other that's about 1.4. And then there was also a test match, which as a city we tried to oppose, that may be hosted by Free State, and there's a claim of about 2.6 million. And all of those are being disputed at the moment by the city. I think the total estimate, Chairperson, is about 20 million. That Rafi is saying that, this will be the losses that we will suffer as a result of, one, the preparation of the World Cup, and also the hosting of the World Cup. Because you would know that with the exclusive period running for 2 months, 3 weeks before the event and a week after the event, Rafi cannot, have access, to the stadium. And as a result, of some of those details, the expectation that we need to cover, some of their losses. Now, that's an issue that, we really have been quite a bit of a challenge in terms of, getting the kind of support that's needed from, the Rafi, side. But clearly, it's something that as a city we need to overcome. Moving over here to the training venues, we have, two training venues, Busabelo as well as Saramagodi Stadium. We've already appointed somebody to upgrade the pitch of the two venues. We also will be appointing a contractor for the floodlight, and that's going to be done from January up to March 2009. It's not major work, you only need about 8 weeks. There's minor changes that we need to effect specifically to prepare the venue for the training venue. However, in terms of the long-term digital legacy plan, there are certain things that we had wanted to do most, especially with Faith Ramagoli, because it's obviously a home stadium for Bloemfontein and Celtic. We have submitted an application to the Lotto due to obviously the failure to secure adequate funding through the business plan process that Mike and the city manager, referred to earlier, that was submitted in 2006. So we're waiting for the outcome. So if it's positive, then obviously then we could be able to use the opportunity to be able to do other things as well. But in total, we are looking at about 200 million for the training venues. In terms of the transport projects, there's quite a number of PTIS projects, and maybe I can just try and use this slide to explain all those projects. This is our the stadium precinct, and that's the main stadium here. And this road here, it's Nelson Mandela Drive, coming from the east, the N1 on the east, the west side. We will be widening Nelson Mandela. We will be spending 25 million to widen Nelson Mandela, from Mimosa Mall, right up to just after N1 to accommodate additional traffic. And if you look at this road here, leading to the stadium from Nelson Mandela, Puffett Avenue, we will be spending about 70 million, to also upgrade the road. The two roads, we've already gone out on tender. The application is happening this month. The contractor will be appointed. If they could start December, great.
otherwise we would start January 2009. The completion date is February 2010, for the two. This road here, as we have pedestrianized it, is Serbon Avenue. It's been completed already. It's a connecting link between your intermodal, on the far east part of the city, towards the stadium. Because of the close proximity of the facilities within the CBD, we're encouraging people to walk instead of driving. So a lot more emphasis is in place on making sure that we create pedestrian friendly street. The intermodal, that's a city legacy project this year. The project is meant to, it's a 400 million project. We want to better integrate the different modes, whether you're talking railway station or in long short distance buses or long short distance taxis. The project that we've already started with the first phase to demolish the existing taxi rank. It will be completed by about February next year, and then thereafter it will be construction of the new intermodal facility. We're expecting that project to be completed by April 2010. As I said, it is a 400 million project. Here is the Hoffman Square. The square is what we're going through redevelopment, it's been identified as a possible center park for the city. We will be spending at least about $35 million to upgrade the area. So we have completed the detailed design. It will shortly be going on public participation because it's a recreational facility, and in terms of legislation, we need to consult with the community in relation to the redevelopment of the area. And again, it provides a very good connecting point between your intermodal facility on the right, together with the stadium, on your left. The other road that form part of the PTIS, Dr. Bensha, is the road that connects your township to the intermodal. Some of them, Dr. Bensha specifically completes, and the Dr. Moroka portion, which is about 15 kilometers from the CBD. We are about 60% of the way through, and those would be completed during next year. In terms of the challenges that the city is having, as I pointed out, training venues, we were looking for 200 million, but that's not been addressed. In the absence of that being finalized, city manager will obviously have to just strictly focus on training venue requirements and which are activities that we've already started. And then in terms of ICT, we initially submitted a plan amounting to about $168 million, to look at different aspects, and we believe that if we could be able to get for now $100 million, that would go a long way in terms of closing the gap that have already been identified. The city beautification and greening, in terms of the original plan prepared by the city, and linking it with what we need to do in terms of the World Cup, and also comparing it with the allocation that has been made under the operating grant, there is an additional amount of about $15 million, that is required, to make sure that we change the landscape of the city with specific focus on the historically disadvantaged areas. Chair, that's in a nutshell the overview from Mangaung. We have limited it only to those areas, but we do realize that in terms of World Cup preparation, there are other elements that are involved.
Thank you, Chair. If you then allow, Chair, I will just highlight those challenges that are related to our state of readiness for 2010 World Cup. You and honorable members have already seen on the slide there that there's the issue of the rugby union, which you also indicated, Chairperson. We have already received a claim for $7 million by obviously, which is disputed. The logic obviously is we are putting an investment on the stadium, therefore we can't then be seen to be paying rugby union for inconveniencing them. What an investment that they basically will be benefiting. But their argument is, we didn't say we want extra capacity and so on, and we are just wasting our time and our fixtures and what, and we are losing money, and therefore pay us for investing in the stadium. Obviously, we need to strike a balance here whilst we are entering those matters, given that we have agreements with FIFA, where we agree that the stadium that will be utilized for these exercises would not be in dispute. There would obviously there would be no litigations and so on this stage. So one or another, we have that at the back of the mind, but basically, we feel that instead of having a legacy, particularly that will benefit the community, we would then be looking a benefit specifically for a particular sector of the sporting code, which is the rugby union in this case. So that basically makes this issue a little bit difficult. But nonetheless, today the city, I have appointed an auditor to go through their books proper and to see really, are there any losses, and if those losses are there, are they really justifiable in terms of the contract that we have and so on. But obviously it will then mean later, we will have to charge for that extra capacity that we are putting. Maybe that's one thing that we'll have to look into. But nonetheless, there are also other issues. The coordinator has indicated the investment for the intermodal transport facility, where we are linking up the bus, taxi, and railway into one system and making it a safer facility for our commuters. We are moving to the second phase of demolishing the existing taxi link as an example. But when we were supposed to commence with the work about 2 weeks ago, the taxi industry renegated on our agreement, and they then started saying they would not move from the old facility, and we could obviously not be able to do it. But there the problem is the question of coordination. The city would agree with the local taxi industry, and then later, Satako will then come and say, at their national level, they have never agreed with the Department of Transport on lots of other issues, and therefore it filters down now to the level of the city. And then it makes it difficult because we normally negotiate with our local taxi industry on issues that are related to our local matter. But then later they come in, and obviously, you know, if Satako talks, all the other associations at local level, then they listen, and then we have those type of problems. Nonetheless, engagements are still continuing there, but we are pressed with time, obviously, and hopefully we will finalize our discussions again next week. But here, I must indicate, the committee, I think one or another, at the national level, we need to look into how the taxi industry is going to benefit in this exercise of 2010 preparation. Because simply every time they come and say, no, even if you build these facilities for the benefit of the commuters and us, what's the benefit? So I think we need at national level to have an understanding with Satako on this. Then seeing the benefit of this investment that the government is coming. At that level, I think they are not yet convinced on this sort of that. The other challenge that we are faced with is on the airport link to the city. Given that we are looking into... All right. To date we were not opposed to basically go out one tender. The total budget for this exercise, Chaperton, is more than 100 million, I think, 200 million. The parties that are involved there is the municipality, Samba, AXA. But what has happened there, when we were supposed to go on tender, AXA also tendered out and said they did not budget for their contribution. So, all along, we've been having meetings, we have been agreed on percentages of contribution. And they then told us that they have not budgeted for this exercise, and there's no guarantee that they will ever budget for it. And therefore, the city will have to see how it gets out of this money. Here I'm talking about their contribution being about 18% of the total cost of the project, which is less than what the city is, has committed to put in ensuring that that link there is upgraded. And in this regard, obviously, it's not even a municipality road. It is a provincial road. Actually, it's the national road. It's the N5 that leads to the airport. Now, we can't also move on that project. Obviously, my colleague has also indicated that we would need to get finalization on the contribution, particularly from LOC and the national treasure, because our estimate in terms of escalations and so on, we're running to 1.6 billion, but we have to cut everything to go to the level of having 600 million as our estimate in terms of the over expenditure that we will be incurring as the city. The issue of roles and responsibilities that need to be clarified, I would not stress it much, because in our last meeting, we were then told that we will have to buy ambulances, and just within a year, we obviously handed over the functions of primary health care to provincial government. Now municipalities were expected to buy ambulances for what? And it can't happen, obviously, legislative wise, who would not be. Public safety was saying that we would need to buy helicopters. Obviously, we would never buy helicopters. But I'm trying to say, simply because the roles and responsibilities are not properly clarified. And then everything goes back to cities to cities that they have to sort out preparations for things. I think that definitely we will have to bring to the attention of the committee so that the committee when deals with this matter can look into those challenges for the cities. But given all those challenges, Chairperson, we have made a commitment to meet the necessary deadlines as they are appearing on the slide today, and we are moving forward to meet this 2010 exercise. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The full details of the second floor, everybody is hungry and we are not going to take planning to when you eat, and then when we find, we'll come back and to come and finalize. All of you are invited.